You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast. Sam Norris and Andrew Mount here looking at four races on Sunday from Pontefract and Worcester. We've also got racing from further afield on Sunday as well across the Irish Sea. They've got a card over at Garran. And we've also got domestic action at Hexham. You can join the team in the studio from 1:40pm. It is Mark Walton, Rory Delaghi and Paddy Aspel in the studio from 1:40 for Hexham, Worcester, Pontefract and also Garran. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to Andrew Mount. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, Sam.
Good. Enjoyed Royal Ascot over the last few days. Been some fantastic racing on proper summer ground as well.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And I was telling you earlier, I think it's overtaken. The Cheltenham Festival is my favourite festival meeting of the year now.
Yes. Still Cheltenham for me, I'm afraid. Yeah.
You'll learn. You're young. You've got time on yourself.
Perhaps. Any particular highlights for you that have stood out over the course of the week before we look back on some of Saturday's star performers?
It has to be the Gold Cup. I'm sure everybody will say the same thing, but it was an absolutely fantastic finish. Big Orange pulling out all the stops in gutsy fashion to deny the favourite Order of St George.
Yeah, it's great to see those stayers. It's a division that's been not criticised, but you know, some trainers have lamented the downfall of the staying division, if you like, but races at the Gold Cup show that it is alive and well.
That's right. And I think the Melbourne Cup's helped in that respect as well, because Big Orange has been down there and running that race a couple of times. So, you know, given how much lauded stayers are in Australia, I think it's had a positive effect on our staying races as well.
Indeed. Although I suppose it's not completely fixed. We do have the Queen's Vase, which just seems weird for that to be run over a trip of a mile and six now.
Yeah, that's right. That was quite a strange move. Although we've also seen as well that the form of last year's St Ledger has been given a boost.
Yes, Harbour Law.
Because Harbour Law won the St Ledger and came out and finished third in the Gold Cup. But Idaho,
yes, of course,
has won the Hardwick Stakes. Was odds on favourite for the St Ledger and unseated when going extremely well. So that's given that end of season classic a bit of a boost as well.
Yeah, indeed, it was a nice performance from Idaho. Dartmouth seems to be in a great position, Andrew. There's no excuses for the horse, because I thought Ryan Moore rode a good ride on him and had every chance, but didn't seem to quicken up like he normally does.
That's right. He did get quite warm going to the post. He wasn't warm in the paddock, according to Ken Peterson, but watching him go down, he was certainly very warm underneath the saddle, and did sit quite close to the pace, and Dal Harold, the front runner, did drop away. So perhaps they just went a shade too fast. But again, another short price Sir Michael Stout trained runner to disappoint at Royal Ascot this year.
Indeed, it's been a disappointing week, and it's been a disappointing month really for Sir Michael Stout. The yard just not firing at the moment.
No, that's right. I mean, he had a winner at Newmarket on Saturday, but that was in a filly's handicap, and he's just not getting the big races on the board at the moment.
Yeah, a few favourites beaten this week at Royal Ascot. No such problems for Aidan O'Brien, albeit he has had a couple of favourites beaten. But we've got to talk about September, Andrew, who won the Chesham, the race that was won by Churchill last year. He then went on to bigger and better things, and she was visually very impressive on debut. The speed figure boys tell me that she didn't clock a breathtaking time on debut at Leopardstown. But this was a really nice win in the Chesham from a fair way back. Ryan had her buried in behind a wall of horses. She had plenty of cover early doors, but when he pressed the button, she went whoosh in the Chesham.
Yeah, absolutely. Very impressive indeed. And a horse with a big future.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And Arletti finishing back in second. 1,000 guineas talk. Is that premature?
No, definitely.
No.
Definitely,
yeah, she's 5-1 for the 1,000 guineas next year if you fancy September. Sonoa proved to be a bit of a surprise winner of the Wolferton, Andrew, a horse that...
Don't mention that name.
A horse that usually prefers a bit of cut in the ground.
Well, that's it. I did look at the draw statistics, because over that 10-furlong trip at Ascot, stalls 5, 6 and 7 have got a fantastic record. It seems to be that you don't want to be stuck out too wide, you don't want to be too close to the inside rail, and I think 6 of the last 7 course and distance winners have now been drawn in stall 5. And if you combined stalls five, six, and seven in an exacta, you'd have had 1,200 quid for your to a pound. So maybe coincidence, but I did look closely at all the 5, 6, and 7 draws, and I concluded, like you, that Snowana was probably running on ground too quick for him. And the runner-up, Majid, coming out of stall 7, has only ever won in small fields previously.
Right.
So I thought would struggle in the big field. But he was given an excellent ride by Jeremy Spencer to come through for second. And, of course, my place pot went down as well. I had the fifth. So it was a bit of a what-could-have-been kind of race for me, that one.
Sorry for making you relive that.
No, that's quite right. And interesting that David Allen, who rode Snowana, was heading up to Haydock on Saturday night for one ride.
So, oh, that's okay.
That will be... very interesting to see how that one gets on, if indeed he does turn up, or whether he's on the champagne in the bar at Royal Ascot as we speak.
Yeah, indeed. And the 420 as well, must mention the big race of the day, which was the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, going the way of the Tin Man, who looked like he needed it your class timeout and arrived a much fitter animal today, and it was a nice performance. And again, I thought at one stage Tom Queeley had him a little bit too far back and he had to switch a couple of times. It was a messy finish to the race, but the Tin Man... again, quickened really nicely and got the job done.
That's right. And as you say, the Tin Man on debut was probably on Need of the Run. That was at York. He was also badly drawn in stall one, and that race sort of took, you know, the action unfolded towards the stand side that day. The winner was drawn 9, the runner-up 12, and the fourth came out of stall 11. So, the Tin Man did well to finish so close from stall one. And he's always followed a defeat with a win.
Right.
Lost 5 times in his life. Every time he's bounced back to win on his next start. Okay. Now, conversely, he very rarely follows up a win. So it'll be fascinating to see how he gets on next time out. There's a touch of the Oxo pattern. You know,
yes.
Sort of bad run, good run, bad run, good run.
An easy horse to get a handle of, at least. You can oppose him next time and back in the time after.
Yeah, exactly. That's the theory anyway.
So yeah.
Could just be coincidence, but... be fascinating to find out.
Yeah, indeed. And just finally, what have you made of the supposed draw bias and differences in opinion for jockeys this week on various sides of the track? There doesn't seem to be anything consistent or rock solid.
Well, I mean, Tuesday and Wednesday, it certainly helped to be drawn high and racing towards the stands rail. The going stick suggested that the going was faster on either rail and slower down the middle. Everything was turned on its head on Thursday. The theory, you know, from some pundits was that the track had put more water on the on the stand side to dry it out. It might just be the fact that it wasn't as sunny. It was cloudy and the moisture was retained in the ground, and it wasn't as windy as well. Or, you know, it could just be where the pace of the race was as well. So, yeah, difficult to say. But as we record this, the jockeys certainly wanted to be far side on Saturday. Mm. And they've almost turned sort of 45 degrees and headed to the far rail in the Diamond Jubilee. But with 29 runners coming up in the Woking, it will be fascinating to see if they do split into two groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's leave it there then for Royal Ascot and move on to some of Sunday's racing. We've got 2 from Pontefract and 2 from Worcester to look at on Sunday, and all packaged into a 40-minute gap on Sunday afternoon. We begin with the 3 o'clock at Pontefract, which is a handicap over 1.25 miles. Just 6 runners down to contest this. 12.5 grand on offer, though, for the winner, and it's attracted a small but select field, Andrew.
Yes, indeed. And I love this course and distance, 10 furlongs at Pontefract, because the draw bias is at its strongest here. And even in small fields, it's a real big advantage to be drawn in stalls 1, 2 or 3, particularly stalls 1 or 2. And the one I'm drawn to is King Thistle for the Rebecca Menzies yard. I think this one's going to be my William Hill Radio nap selection as well. And he's got the best of the draw in stall 1. He's had 4 runs for his current yard since leaving Ian Williams, and was well backed in the first of them, and that was here at Pontefract in April. Was the 11-4 favourite. Could only finish 3rd behind Gulf of Poets and Bit of a Quirk, but that form has been given a massive boost. Gulf of Poets is unbeaten in 3 subsequent starts, latterly off a £14 higher mark, and Bit of a Quirk has won 2 of his 3 subsequent runs. So that's so worked out really strongly. King Thistle himself... has finished 6th, 2nd and 5th in 3 subsequent outings, although probably didn't stay a stiff mile 3 at Hamilton last time, was also racing with the choke out that day, and I think it's easy to forgive that run. I think back at Pontefract from the inside stall, King Thistle's very much the one to beat here.
King Thistle then for Andrew in the 3 o'clock race at Pontefract. Half an hour later then on the same card, we go to the feature race of the day at Ponty on Sunday. This is the 3:30 racing over a mile and a half for this listed Pontefract Castle Fillies Stakes. And Abingdon likely to be a fairly warm order for this contest for Sir Michael Stout. But as we mentioned, the yard not in a great place at the moment, and this one makes its seasonal reappearance against race fit rivals.
That's right, drawn in store one. The draw not as important over this mile and a half trip as it is over a mile or 10 furlongs. Sir Michael Stout's had two runners in this contest recently, both finished second, one at evens, one at 28-1. And so Abingdon was very progressive last year, winning three of her five starts, including first time out. That was at Ascot and a maiden. But like you say, a short price trained by Sir Michael Stout in a pattern race, perhaps not the way to go, judging on what we've seen at Royal Ascot this week. So I think I'll take on the filly in this race.
Okay, and who will you be taking her on with?
Yeah, tricky. I looked at a few here. Colonial Classic for second start for James Fanshawe. Ran well on her debut and reappearance for the yard when fourth in a Goodwood listed race. She has possibilities. Shirling's quite interesting. This one had some really good form and bumpers and is making her flat turf debut. She won three of her five races and signed off with a fourth to Dame Rose in a grade two at Aintree. Signe for William Haggis is unbeaten in three starts. The daughter of See the Stars winning at Newbury and Handicap Company by a nose last time out. She's most progressive. But I'm just going to take a chance with one at a likely bigger price, and that's You're Kidding for Mark Johnson and Sylvester D'Souza. This one ran at Royal Ascot, finishing 8th of 18 behind Thomas Hobson in the Ascot Stakes on Tuesday. But the thing with York Kidding is, she really needs a small field and to be able to dominate. All her wins have come in fields of 10 or less, and she's the kind of horse who can bounce back from a defeat in a big field by dominating in a smaller field next time out, and she'll do for me.
You're kidding then in the 3:30 at Ponty for Andrew. On to racing at Worcester then, a bit of National Hunt action beginning with the 3:10, which is a 2.5 mile handicap chase upcoming, and plenty of horses arriving here, Andrew, in winning form. This is a fairly decent little heat for the year, for the time of the year.
Yes, indeed, and it does look like a hot race. It was won last year by Peter Bowen with Dinner, and I think he can perhaps take it again with number two, Forever My Friend, who received a massive speed figure when winning at Stratford last time from It's a Gimme, and has got some form here at Worcester, and I think he could be the way to go in what is, as you say, a very tricky race. Definite Future, the Kerry Lee horse. A winner at Aintree last time out would probably be the main danger.
Okay, Forever My Friend, the selection then, and Definite Future, the main danger in that Worcester 3:10. And on to the Worcester 3:40 then, which is a handicap hurdle over the same trip, 2.5 miles in front of them, a Class 2 prize. And again, not a bad little heat this, Andrew.
Yeah, very interesting indeed, this one. Quite an interesting jockey bookie, Sean Bowen riding for Nick Williams. Sean Bowen riding really well at the moment. He's on After 8 Savola. But I'm going to go with Surf and Turf, the veteran. Now, this one's better known as a chaser, but has been put back over hurdles for his last two runs, finishing seventh at Wetherby last October, and then coming back from a break of more than 6 months, was a wide margin winner at 14-1 at Hexham last time out. Now, this is the kind of horse who often goes well fresh, first couple of runs after a break, and it's got plenty of good form at Worcester as well. Has won here, I think it's three times previously. And his last Worcester win over fences came off a mark of 140. Now, that Hexham hurdles win came off a mark of 114. And even though he's been put up £9 to 123, he's still £17 lower than his previous course win. And I think he should still be fresh enough to do himself justice. And Richard Hobson's veteran can take this.
A Surf and Turf then in the 3:40 at Worcester. Thank you for that, Andrew. Quick recap if you wouldn't mind, please.
No problem at all, Sam. In the 3 o'clock at Pontefract, I'm going with King Thistle, well drawn in stall one. The 3:30 at Pontefract, the listed fillies race, I'm with You're Kidding at a likely big price for Mark Johnson. Then we're off to Worcester for some jumping action. In the 3:10, I'm with Forever My Friend for last year's winning trainer. And then finally in the 3:40, course expert Surf and Turf.
Thank you very much. There we are. The thoughts of Andrew Mount on racing at Worcester and Pontefract. We've also got Hexham and Gowran to come on Sunday. Racing Radio, the place to be from 1:40 p.m. with Mark Walton, Rory Delaghi and Paddy Aspel guiding you through. Thank you very much for that, Andrew. Best of luck and enjoy the action.
Yeah, cheers, Sam. Thank you.
What have Man City, Joe Root, Rory McIlroy, Andy Murray and Q-Card all got in common? They can all be combined with William Hill's new Acca Insurance, Acca 5. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. Acca 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.